Wow, Donnie, your hair is looking fabulous.
Thanks, I got it cut from Boda at Faded Barbershop for Men, 2227 63rd Street.
Oh, they offer many different services, including shaves, waxing, and those good old-fashioned haircuts.
Follow their Facebook page to schedule your next hair-rising experience.
That's Faded Barbershop for Men, 2227 63rd Street in Uptown Kenosha. Hey, Donnie, you thirsty?
Yeah!
Well, get on down to Lucci's Grandview, 6929 39th Avenue, and grab yourself a cold drink and some good conversation.
This family-owned bar will serve you up some great memories.
Follow them on Facebook for their great upcoming specials and events.
That's Lucci's Grandview, 6929 39th Avenue. Cheers!
I'll meet you there. Frank's Diner, 508 58th Street, has been a Kenosha icon since 1926.
This classic establishment offers up sassy service with scrumptious breakfast and lunches.
Can you take on the garbage plate?
I don't know, but stop in at Frank's, open 7 days a week in downtown Kenosha. On this episode of the Kate Tomkinex podcast, we're going to be keeping it real as we chat it up with one of the most successful entrepreneurs and content creators that Kenosha has ever seen. We get real with Mitch Ferraro. Cue that music. Welcome to the Kate Tomkinex podcast, the number one podcast in the area.
Why? Who says it's number one?
I do. And I can say it, right?
I mean, I guess.
You don't think we're number one?
I've not seen any factual information. I need to see the...
You have to...
I need the numbers.
Well, I got the numbers right here.
Pull your pants back up, man.
Well, I'm one of your hosts, Donnie, and I'm here with...
Hi, I'm Jason.
Jason.
How you doing, Donnie?
Oh, man, I've never been better. I'm looking forward to this episode.
I heard it's going to be real.
It's going to get real, real.
I can't wait.
So we are here recording, as always, at Luigi's Pizza Kitchen, located at 7531 39th Avenue. They're open Tuesday through Sunday. Give them a call at 262-694-6565. Check out their full menu. Order online at luigispizzakenosha.com. And you know what? Order those pizza pies.
Ooh. We got to give a special thanks to Dropping Daisies for that great theme song.
Yeah, I love that song.
Kenosha, my hometown.
I'll never get sick of it.
No?
Nope. Okay. Never.
Good.
Mitch, did you like that song?
Love it.
I know. It's a real rocker. It really is.
And it'll be playing now, I'm sure, playing the last shows this summer. So check out Dropping Daisies.
Yes. Yeah. Support the band that supports us. All right. Then you can follow the Kate Tomkinex podcast on all the social media outlets, including Facebook, Instagram. We are on Twitter, YouTube, so drop us a review on Facebook or on your favorite podcast provider. Help us spread the word about the hottest podcast in town. And what podcast is that?
Keeping It Real with Mitch Ferraro.
Wow. That too as well.
Love it. Yes.
And don't forget, you can also show your support for K-Town Connects by getting your very own K-Town merchandise. Ooh. Courtesy of the Letter Machine. They got t-shirts, sweatshirts, beanies, koozies, and more. You can find a quick link at ktownconnects.com.
Thank you, Letter Machine, for that. We would also like to give a special shout out to our Patreon supporter of the week, Mr. Terry Nelson. Thank you, Terry, for joining the party at patreon.com/ktownconnects. Terry and all of our Patreon supporters get early access to each episode, bonus material, and the critically acclaimed bonus show. It is what it is.
Critically acclaimed?
Yep. I'm the critic. I wrote it. That's what it's called. That's what it's called.
Okay, well, this sounds great. How much does this cost?
You're not going to believe this, Jason or Mitch. As low as $2 a month, you can get all that.
Well, what if I want to give more?
You feel free. Give $5, $10, $20, $30. It all goes right back into the podcast.
Can I give $100 a month?
I would love it you would do that.
I think I'm going to sign up.
Perfect. You can find the quick link at ktownconnects.com.
Whoa. And you can also look for the K-Town Connects podcast on Spectrum Channel 14 and Kenosha Community Media streaming channel on your Roku. We air every Wednesday at 11 a.m. and Sundays at 5 p.m.
Hey, look, Mom, I'm on TV. I want to get that on a t-shirt as well. It's becoming a new catchphrase.
What?
Look, Mom, I'm on TV.
That's new?
Well, I'm going to make it into a new t-shirt.
Okay. What's the image going to be?
It's going to be a TV and me doing this, waving my arms around.
Okay.
You think it'd be a hot seller?
You still haven't pulled your pants up.
It's hot in here. They got the ovens on in here. All right. Well, let's get down to business here. We are with Mitch Ferraro. How are you?
I'm doing amazing. How about you guys?
Doing great. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, I'm super pumped here to bring the energy.
Yes, please do. Please do. We need that after some of these guests we had on the show. Jeez.
Wow.
I'm just kidding, everybody.
You know they all listen.
Yeah, they do. All right. All right, Mitch, let's just kind of get to know you. You grew up in Kenosha your whole life, correct?
Yeah, born and raised here. I grew up on the north side of Kenosha, sort of just a little bit north of the Washington Bowl, the Velodrome.
Oh, so you're a Big Star kid then.
Oh, Big Star. Mm-hmm. All day. Big Star.
What's the best thing at Big Star?
Well, I get the same thing every single time. Double cheeseburger, just ketchup, mustard, cheese fries, cheese curds, and jalapeno poppers.
Wow.
Yes, and the root beer, as we were mentioning before.
Do you have an expensive plumber bill?
I've got the big 3-inch stack that, you know, just to make sure everything goes through. But yeah, so grew up on the north side. I actually went to Holy Rosary to second grade.
Oh, Catholic.
Yep. And then I went to St. Mark's from from third to sixth. And then I went into the public school system. Right after that, I went to Washington Middle School from seventh and eighth grade. And right when I started middle school, they had just switched it to where ninth grade was going into the 9th through 12th.
The middle school thing.
The middle school was being sixth, seventh, and eighth then. Huh. And then I went to Mary D. Bradford from there.
Oh, Red Devil.
Yep, Red Devil. North Side, absolutely.
What was your favorite teacher at Bradford?
Mr. Thomas Roders. Okay. Yeah. Actually, funny enough, his mom and dad lived like right next door to my parents, so I knew him before going to high school. Oh, and all
so you were
that.
Buggering him up for the good grades.
Exactly.
Back then. Like, come
exactly.
On.
Exactly.
I remember his kid.
And I played hockey my whole life. Started about when I was 5 years old. Play for the Kenosha Comets here.
Oh, okay. Were five?
Yep. Started here when I was five. Played all the way through high school.
Did you want to play when you were five? Your parents?
Yes.
Oh, you did. So you like you were a big hockey. I'll never forget.
My parents took me to a Milwaukee Admirals game when I was really young. I had to be around 4 years old, and I saw the little kids come out during the intermission, and I started crying because I wanted to be out there. And this memory has stuck with me for forever. And the next day, my parents signed me up to start doing skating lessons, and I remember going out there, and I didn't know what I was. You know, you can't skate; just get out there. And I started crying again, like I can't do this. And I remember my dad being like, "I just paid all this money.
Yeah, you're doing
you.
It.
You're doing this." And, the rest is history from there.
Oh,
and,
good.
Yeah, so played there my whole life, and then I did play down in Illinois my senior year of high school. They had made the Kenosha Thunder. They started combining all the schools for a high school hockey team.
Oh, cool.
And they kind of broke up some of us because some of the guys that were playing for us were in Racine. Mm-hmm. So they obviously couldn't play for the school system here because they were in Racine. So ended up playing down in Illinois. And then from there, I played junior hockey in Michigan. So junior hockey is not like junior college. It's just... hockey is very interesting where you have to most really good hockey players that play college, they're starting their freshman years as like 20, 21 year olds because they play junior hockey for a few years to develop a little more and then they go into college hockey. So I tried that. Hockey wasn't in the cards for me. As you know, for those that can't see me right now, I'm 5'7", 170 pounds soaking wet.
When you realized that, were you like, oh man, I'm not built for it.
I was because when I got to junior hockey, I was a really good hockey player here. And then when I got to junior hockey, everyone's a really good hockey player.
That's why you never leave your hometown.
Yeah, right.
What was your favorite position? Were you
I was right wing.
Okay.
Yep. And you know, it was just, you know, it was eye opening. You know, you had these guys that were just as good, but they were 6 feet, 220 pounds. They're big guys. And so that opened up my eyes to, I got to go to school. So I actually...
I thought you were going to say open up your eyes to steroids.
Yeah.
Oh, hey.
Can't you tell?
Get you to the board once or twice and you're okay, I'm done with this.
Yeah, so. You ever just get smashed and you're just like, I'm done with this now.
Yeah. Actually, in juniors, I remember I got one, my bell rocked pretty well and like my whole... helmet and face mask just like scrunched into my face, and I was like, oh man, this is
Did you ever give it to somebody real good?
I got in a couple fights on the ice and playing juniors. In juniors you can fight, you take your helmets off and you drop the gloves, so that was always you know, guys really respected you when you dropped the mitts for the team. And
I always thought that was so crazy in hockey, like you can just punch somebody in the face.
You
can't do that nowadays, can you?
Yes. Oh, you still do. It's not, you know, it's not as common as it used to be, but you still do it.
Like, what was that EA hockey game where you just beat them and there's blood in the hockey game? You remember that? That was fun.
That's
hockey.
It's a part of the game. It is, if something happens to one of your good guys, you have kind of what you would call like an enforcer on the team.
Kind of like when a pitcher in baseball hits a batter.
Yes,
it's kind
correct.
Of almost the kind of the same concept.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So... So then I came back home. I then went to UW-Milwaukee, graduated from there with a degree in kinesiology.
Yeah, what is that?
It's the study of human movement.
Oh.
So while I was in school,
What made you go for that?
Because it still stayed sports related.
Oh, okay.
Because I was actually thinking of possibly becoming a physical therapist at one point. And when I graduated with that degree, you have to go get a higher degree to be able to practice physical therapy. You actually have to get your doctorate degree. So during that time when I graduated, I was offered a position at a company called Quad Graphics. It's a very large print company. Actually manufactures things like Sports Illustrated, Time Magazine, the U-Line catalog. Yeah. They actually print that material. So they have the big printing presses that prints all of that. So I had an internship there in school. When I graduated, there was this program called the Corporate Trainee Program within Quad Graphics. And it basically, they kind of homegrown their executives through that program.
Oh,
so
nice.
Most of the people that are in VP positions and executive directors, they had all gone through the Corporate Trainee program. So it was really cool because a lot of the hires were new graduates. So when I was interning there, I started learning about the program. I said, hey, this could be a pretty cool thing. Maybe start making money right out of college. Instead of going to get my doctorate and becoming a physical therapist. So I got offered the position and I started there, and then I hated that job.
Would you hate the suit and tie? Or?
I just, the bureaucracy.
Yeah.
It was, it was a 30,000 people company.
Wow. You're just a number.
Just a number. By no means a very good company still, but it was just the, to get something done. It was hard to do because there was so much red tape and everything. And, it was the print industry. Who knows in 20 years if people even know what print is.
You're talking to two of the people in the biz right now.
So, I mean, it's like, it was one of those things where you have someone young that comes in, I actually was in sales there for 6 years and just teaching people about print and trying to sell print. When you're in the corporate trainee program, you actually start out on the print floor. So you learn how the manufacturing works.
Wow.
You go through the printing presses and they teach you all of that stuff. So that when you go into a customer facing role, you can speak it pretty well.
Did you get free subscriptions to Sports Illustrated?
Yeah,
and all that?
Actually, it was pretty cool. Nice. Like if you wanted to, we had like a catalog magazine library at the corporate headquarters is in Sussex. So that's actually where I was traveling all the time. And if you wanted to go, like, just take, I've actually got one of the, when the Hawks won the Stanley Cup, I've got the Sports Illustrated edition that they put out there. But it was, being younger and being in the print industry, it is a mature industry. So you're dealing with a lot of older people that are just kind of like, you know what, Sonny, you haven't been in the industry long enough. You really don't know what you're talking about. So that was one of those things that kind of, my wife, whenever I'd come home, she'd be like, we got to find you something else to do because it is not working. So,
yeah. So speaking of your wife, you guys have been married for over a decade, correct?
Yeah.
And you guys met in high school?
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell our listeners how this beautiful relationship happened.
Yes. Actually, this is it's a pretty cool story. So Nina's 2 years older than me, and actually she has an older sister and I have an older sister that knew each other from Bradford. And I still remember going into ninth grade, and I remember seeing Nina for the first time, and I was like, that's mine. She's mine. Like, I'm gonna marry her. Nice. And I actually joined. She was in student council. I joined student council just to meet her. I went to one meeting in student council. That was the last meeting I ever went to, was just to meet her. And I still remember to this day, I sat down at the same table as her, and she goes, you're Jenna Ferraro's little brother, right? That's my sister's name. I said, yeah. And she said, we want some Skittles. And she had Skittles. Ooh. And I'll never forget this. And she gave me Skittles. And I was like, yeah, all right. So,
I'm in.
Yes. But she, you know, in high school, older woman with a younger guy, she wanted nothing to do with me in high school.
But you laid the groundwork.
I did. I started planting the seeds and trying to figure out, you know, how am I going to get this woman to marry me? Kind of long story short with that, after high, you know, we still had a lot of the same friends. Mm-hmm. So we did hang out a lot and got to know each other. But it wasn't until she was out of high school and I was actually at UW-Milwaukee.
Okay.
And if you guys remember AOL Instant Messenger.
Oh, yes. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. She contacted me on AOL Instant Messenger. She's like, hey, how are you? It's been a while.
And she's coming after you.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And I invited her to, it was summertime. I said, hey, why don't you come to Summerfest? And we'll all go down to Summerfest. We'll hang out downtown afterwards. And I had an apartment there, and I said, you can bring friends. You guys can all just spend the night, whatever. You don't have to go back.
Very nice.
So, long story short, that kind of rekindled everything. And then, we
hit it off from there, huh?
Got hit it off. We're actually be coming up on 12 years on May 15th here. And, we got two awesome kids, Rome and Stasha. They're 10 and 7. They're a fun age right now, and they're becoming a little smart Alex, which is, you know, you kind of see yourself in them a little bit. And
are they doing any hockey?
No, actually, neither of them want to play hockey. I tried very, very much for both of them to play, but they didn't want to. So I wasn't going to force it upon them to do that. And that was one thing that I was like, you know what? I'm going to kind of let them do their own thing. So Rome actually plays soccer, which is a similar type of concept.
Slow motion hockey
on grass. And then Stasha does a lot of dancing, likes to sing. So maybe like performing arts as she gets a little older.
See, I'm going to force my son to do the stuff I could never do. That's what I'm going to do to him.
Whenever I go to the soccer games, I always say, this would be so much better if they put like a fence around it, made it smaller, and like put it on ice.
You know, what's nice is I really like indoor soccer because it doesn't stop. Mm. So when the ball gets kicked onto the boards and stuff like that, it's a continual game. But outdoor, the ball goes out, it slows down and all that stuff. So
I never really saw an indoor soccer game. So.
Yeah, the Boys and Girls Club got a really good league here in Kenosha. Tons of kids go through that league. So it's a lot faster. It's a lot faster, which is cool to see.
Cool.
So that was kind of us kind of just, you know, long story short.
Where'd you go on the actual first date when it was just you two?
The first date. And I, Jazz in the Park in Milwaukee.
Nice.
This was at Cathedral Park. It was in September. It was like September, can't remember, but it was like 2000. I want to say it was 2009 that we had our first date. And then it's funny, we actually made a list of our dates, but we lost it.
Oh.
And I know like the second date was Salute's in Racine.
Oh, very nice, great place.
Yes. Third date was The Departure. We went and saw The Departure.
Oh, okay.
With Leonardo DiCaprio in the theaters. And I can't remember the fourth, but number five, because that was my hockey number, as my number forever, we went and saw an Admirals game. That's as far as I can remember of all the dates. So,
The Admirals is a great time for like an affordable price.
Yep.
It's a great time. I haven't been there since before the pandemic. I got to get back there.
We just had, Stasha just had her class for their year-end second grade trip. I got to chaperone them to a Admirals game. Oh, and it was cool. It was actually like student day. So the place was just packed with students.
Oh, wow.
And they did a really good job of coordinating it and organizing it. And it was a blast. Nice. They played at like 11 o'clock, so they never played that early.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And it was really, really cool. And we got up on the jumbo screen, and it was cool. It was a lot of fun.
And the Admirals do a lot to cater to their fans, too. It's like really cool what they do. And you can go $20 you can get there.
Yeah, they shoot the potato gun with the t-shirts. Yeah, they have the blimp that drops tickets and stickers and stuff like that. So
yeah, it's very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
So you graduated from Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Was your plan to come back to Kenosha, or did you have other plans at the time?
You know, I think at the time there was always the plan to come back. Both Nina's family and my family are both from here. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's like one of those things where we were up in Milwaukee together for a little while. And then once we got married, we were living in Cudahy. And then once we started having kids and we were traveling a lot back and forth, we said, you know what? Why don't we get back here to Kenosha? So we actually ended up in Caledonia for a couple of years. We built a house there. We then sold that house, built another house here in Kenosha, and that's when we got back here into Kenosha. And now we've been here ever since. And, you know, we it's funny because we say we're going to stay here, but then when the winters come around, we're always like, what the hell are we doing here? Like, I think everyone goes through that every winter. It's just like, why do we do this to ourselves?
So how was Cudahy?
Cudahy was good. I liked it a lot. We were close to the lake, which was nice. We were actually living at the time in Nina's grandmother's house. So her mom's family were from the Cudahy area. So we stayed there, and I liked it. It was nice. It was quiet.
Yeah.
We lived in an older type of neighborhood, and but then once kids came around, it was, you know, we were just traveling. It was like 30, 35 minutes, 40 minutes back and forth. Diaper bags and bottles.
I always thought that if I got a job in Milwaukee, I might want to live in Cudahy because it's closer. And it's I've driven through there numerous times. It always seems really kind of nice. Just, you know, quiet and kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that. And it was very quiet. That, like, St. Francis was quiet. And we would go through there every now and then. But yeah, nice areas up there for sure. And being by the lake was cool too, because you could walk to the lake and things like that.
All right, well, you're listening to Cudahy Connects here with Mitch Ferraro. And I think we're going to take our first break. We'll be right back with more. Sarah and her staff at Wink Beauty Boutique offer great services to make you feel and look your absolute best.
Wink is located at 10909 Sheridan Road, above the Village Supper Club, and they provide lash treatments, body wax, facials, and more.
Hey guys, Sarah has some great gift certificates which will make your lady quiver with excitement.
That's Wink Beauty Boutique, 10909 Sheridan Road.
Hey you, if you're in the market to sell or buy a home, make your next move with Next Home Refined.
This local real estate brokerage specializes in humans over houses, focusing on the main part of the real estate transaction, the people.
Contact Minnie Samuel at 262-960-0468 or Minnie's, M-I-N-I-S, smarthomeprice.com to start your real estate adventure.
That's Next Home Refined.
Are you suffering from pain, migraines, PTSD, anxiety, grief, or stress?
Well, visit our friend Laura Cox of Acupuncture and Wellness of Wisconsin, 3917 47th Avenue, for excellent care in the form of natural, functional, and traditional Chinese medicine.
Visit acuwellwi.com so you can
live well, choose well, and be well. And we're back from that break.
And what a break it was.
Yeah, it was. We're here with Mitch Ferraro. He's from, he owns Family Legacy Real Estate. He is also a real estate agent at Welcome Home Real Estate Group. And he's also does his own little video podcast, Keeping It Real with Mitch Ferraro. So we're going to kind of figure out and learn how you got into the real estate game.
Sure, sure. So
you graduated from Milwaukee.
Yeah.
With this
kinesiology.
Thank you for saying
you're
that,
welcome.
God bless you.
Yeah.
And so the sports thing didn't pan out. You didn't know what you're going to do.
Yeah.
So what were you looking to do in life? I mean, you had your girl.
Yep.
But you didn't have really a direction. What were you going to do?
Yeah. So, you know, growing up, I was taught, you know, the 9-to-5 thing, you know, go work 40 years somewhere, or work and then go retire, build a 401k and do all that stuff. So that was kind of the plan. Yeah. And while I was at Quad Graphics, it was one of those things where I just really didn't like what I was doing. I was traveling from, you know, I was in Caledonia at the time and I was going all the way to Sussex. So it was an hour both ways. And I finally, randomly, I was looking for a new job while at work and I stumbled upon this company called Fortune Builders, and it was a real estate investment company that taught you how to invest in real estate, what they would consider like the right way, how to.
This wasn't a pyramid scheme.
No, it wasn't. It was, and there was at when I was looking at it, I was like, I don't know. Like, right. Let's see. But it caught my attention. Mm-hmm. So I ended up going to a 3-day seminar for this, and they were so good at high pressure sales. Like, I'm talking like, made you feel bad for not buying into the program. So then that kind of made it even more like, is this pyramid scheme type of thing? So I remember I went the first day and we had our child Rome at the time. Nina went the second day. So Nina watched Rome the first day. Then Nina went the second day. And when she came back home, she was like, don't you dare buy anything from this company. And I was like, all right. And I still remember that on the third day, I almost didn't even go in. Because I was like, they're going to really pressure me into buying into this program. Mm-hmm. We don't want to do it. So I went into the third day. And what they were talking about, it made a lot of sense. It made a lot of sense about how you would flip homes. And they were talking about passive income and generational wealth and all these different things and how it is a process. And you kind of got to take some time to, this isn't a get rich quick overnight. This takes time to do. So that was really resonating with me. And I remember, they wanted me to buy in, and I said, no, I can't do it. But I went home that third night and I said to Nina and I, we had about a 4-hour conversation that night about why I felt like this was right. And to kind of get an understanding too. So Nina is much more like, let's do it. We're going to do it. Mm-hmm. Like, we'll figure it out. You know, we'll build the parachute as we jump off the cliff. And I'm like, whoa, time out. I need the analytics. I need the numbers. Yeah. I need all of the data that proves that we can do this. And so this was very different for us because I was the one now saying, let's go do this. Uh-huh. And she was like, time out.
Yeah.
So we ended up being, I remember the kind, you know, we were laughing and crying and just all of these different, you know, topics that we were bringing up. And we said, you know what, let's do it. Let's invest in this company. We're going to do it because, also mind you, I'll back up just a little bit. We had one rental property at this time. So this is like December of 2014.
Okay.
In October of 2014, we bought our first rental and we didn't know what the hell we were doing.
Oh boy.
We couldn't get renters. I couldn't get contractors over to fix some of the things. I didn't know how to run background, all this stuff. I was like,
and you still got to pay that mortgage.
Yes. And I was like, Nina, we need to learn how
did
to
you
do
buy
this.
A 2-unit? Is that how you?
No, it was a single family home that we bought on the south side.
Oh, okay.
And we just.
Why'd you do that?
Because Nina was the one that was like, to back up even further, Nina was the one that really did want to get into real estate.
Okay.
And I was kind of like, again, time out. I need the data. We need to figure this out the right way. And I still remember she was like, you're taking away my dreams. Like, what if I took away your dreams? And I was like, she's got me on this one. So we did it. And just on the whim, just we'll figure it out along the way. And we were struggling trying to figure it out. So then this Fortune Builders kind of came along and went to the 3-day seminar. So we actually, the very next day, we called them back up and they were like, no, you can't. You need to buy it at the 3-day seminar. We're like, come on, we've got our credit card. They're like, oh, okay, yeah. Sure. So I'll still remember when I gave them my credit card number. I was like, oh my God, we just got scammed.
How much was it?
It was $25,000. Yeah.
And
it was one of those things where I was like, oh my God, like, what did we just do?
Right.
Yeah. So then about 15 minutes later, we got a welcome call They then 2 days later sent two big backpacks of all this curriculum, online curriculum. It was like online college for real estate.
Okay.
So it was just very basic, not basic, but it went step by step all the way from the very first thing was talking about building your vision and what your dream is. Didn't even talk about real estate right away. It's like, what do you want in your life? And then it went into talking about wholesaling and marketing and raising private money and building your rental portfolio, flipping houses. And these were chapters upon chapters of stuff that, and I, that was very good for me. That's what I needed.
Right,
I needed to do this the right way. So we invested in that company in December of 2014. By April of 2015, we had our first flip property under contract. Everything that could go wrong in that first flip went wrong. You know, we had to fire our contractor. We had a pipe burst in the basement right after we just finished the basement. We had contractor sleeping upstairs while it was supposed to be work. It was.
Do you do any of the work?
I don't.
No.
And I was doing some of the work in that house, and I promised to myself I would never do.
It's a lot of work.
I have a tough time screwing in a light bulb. Okay. Like, I'm your typical millennial that is like, work hands on. No, this isn't happening. And I'll own that. Okay. Yeah. But Fortune Builders does teach you, you hire that out because your focus should be finding more deals and raising more money and marketing more so that you can get more deals and you can do more at once. So, after we got through that contractor, we sold it in August of 2015, and the sale of that flip paid back the investment that we made, and we made money.
Wow.
So Nina and I were both like, holy, could you imagine if we did this? Because we had coaching through Fortune Builders. We had monthly calls.
Yeah.
We said, could you imagine if we did this the way that they're actually telling us how to do this and building processes and putting a business plan together? So it really just kind of snowballed from there. We got our next property under contract like that October. That was our first rental that we got through what was called the BRRRR strategy. It was a buy, rehab, rent, and refinance strategy. And we've been doing that ever since. And we actually just now fast forward, we've kind of just stopped because we've gotten to a point where the passive income that we have is suitable for our lifestyle right now. We just invested in two properties down in Gatlinburg, Tennessee that we're using as Airbnb style properties. Amazing properties of scenic views of the Smoky Mountains. And one of them sleeps like 10. The other one sleeps about 13. So, and they're like right next to each other.
Oh, nice.
Very beautiful homes. If anyone says, you know, few years ago, if someone were to say, Mitch, how do I get into the real estate game and investing? Like, what do I do? How do I do it? I would always tell them, like, get into wholesaling and flipping properties. Like, that's the best way to try to build income so that you can then start building your rental portfolio or do the BRRRR strategy. Now I tell people, if you can figure out the Airbnb game, amount of revenue that comes in per property is by far the best that I've seen thus far. And it's kind of just been a natural step for us to get into that. But yeah, it's been life changing. And now anyone that wants to listen or wants to talk about real estate or just may have questions, I run a Southeastern Wisconsin Real Estate Investors Group. That's a networking group. We meet every month on the third Wednesday. We either meet at Kenosha Brewing Company in Kenosha.
Nice place.
Or we meet at Paul's Pub in Racine off of Lathrop.
And you know, Paul's Pub, that's one of my favorite places. It's like the better version of the Port in Kenosha, almost, because it's a house.
It's a house. Yep.
They have that video poker game upstairs. Yeah. They like to play.
So if someone's interested in getting into one of these meetings, how can they sign up?
They honestly, if you just search on Facebook, Southeastern Wisconsin Real Estate Investors Group, just join the group. Every week, I post all the networking events, not just ours, but that are in the area, because that's one of the two main things that Fortune Builders crammed into you right in the beginning. Number one was networking. Get out in front of people. You have to start meeting people, talking the lingo. Yeah. And two is just really making offers. Like, you have to be making offers. The only way you get deals is by making offers on properties. So those were like the two. But networking, I always say, your network is equivalent to your net worth. The larger your network is, the more net worth you're going to be able to have over time. Yeah. And but yeah, all they have to do is search Southeastern Wisconsin Real Estate Investors Group. Every week I post when the meeting's going to be and the different ones that are in Kenosha, Racine, and Milwaukee. And I suggest just getting out and start. If you're just starting out, just there's a lot of stuff on you. You don't need to go invest in a big company or a big mentorship. That's what I felt like I had to do.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, with YouTube and with all of these different free sources, even like our source is free. Mm-hmm. It's nothing to join. The networking events are free. That's exactly what they are. They're just networking events. Yeah. Get out there and see if it's a fit for you. And
there we go.
Get on the train because it's a good one.
So when you decided to start flipping these houses, were you a real estate agent at that time as well, or that came a little bit later?
Yeah, that came a little bit later. So investing was like the first part. So when Nina and I first started getting into real estate, one of the things, again, that we kept hearing about was the passive income, generational wealth. And, you know, passive income is just like what we like to call mailbox money. Mailbox money is just like you're doing very little work for money that comes in every month because you've established the system or process that allows that money to come in. And then generational wealth is like, you know, stuff that's going to be here for when I'm gone, for my kids and their kids, and starting to build that. So we just started learning a lot about that stuff. And when we were kind of flipping properties and we started learning more about building rental portfolios and things like that, we said, hey, why don't we come up with a game plan of this is where we want to be in 10 years. And we said, you know, that was back in 2014. And we said, hey, if we can by 2024 be at this spot, then essentially we've done what we wanted to do. And we can then kind of figure out what we want to do when we grow up type
that's
of thing.
That's got to be a good feeling.
It is. It is. And we were able to get there in 8 years. Wow. So that was...
can I have a loan?
Yeah. What type of interest are you going to have in that loan?
Cutting deals early.
but yeah, it was one of those things where not only, and I think what's been very helpful in this is that Nina being my partner, like our skill sets are very different. What she is very good at are kind of my weaknesses, but then my strengths are sort of what her weaknesses are.
Perfect.
So it
a
does,
perfect team.
It does. It works out really, really well. We would not be where we're at today, I think, without being together in this. And my wife is also very, very, she actually has her own productivity consulting company on how to be more productive and doing like, you know, making sure setting goals and setting objectives and planning that out. So when she put this big 10-year plan together, it was then divided out by what does year 7 look like and then year 5 and year 3. So you work backwards all the way down to when we first started, what does week by week look like?
Yeah.
And that's what she was more of the visionary, and then I was more of the boots on the ground, kind of getting after it. And it worked out really, really well.
Sounds like it.
So your real estate interests kind of transferred into this, like these interviews you started doing?
And yes. So because this has changed my life so much, I was trying to figure out a way of how do I just get this information that's like all in my head, like out to people that may want to listen or may want to know about this. So I started gathering my network of people that I've worked with, whether it was contractors or other investors or agents or private money lenders. And I said, hey, why don't we do a 20 to 25 minute video, you and I? And it's not like interview type of thing. It's just us having a conversation, like we're having coffee or something. Yeah. And I started doing those. And the content director at Kenosha.com, Jeffrey Zampanti, saw those. And he was like, Mitch, I really love what you're doing with the real estate stuff. I always feel like I'm learning something from you when I'm doing it. I said, dude, that's exactly what I'm trying to do. Like, that's great. He was like, would you ever consider doing content for Kenosha.com? And I was like, put a microphone in front of me and a camera, and I'm there all day. You know, like I enjoy that stuff. It gives me a lot of energy. So we started kind of focusing on real estate, and then it was kind of like, okay, we've done enough real estate stuff. How about we go a different route? And I just was kind of like, well, this kind of gives me an opportunity to continue to grow my network. Why don't I just start reaching out to people and that I think are interesting in the community and spotlight them a little
there
bit.
There you go.
When did this start, this whole Kenosha.com collaboration?
I've been doing it for a little over a year now. I think it was like February of 2021, January 2021 that we started doing them. And I kind of just ran with it. And it's just, it allows me to meet people. It allows me, like, I feel like I can help someone because I can bring them onto the podcast or onto the show and say, hey, let's highlight you. Like, you're doing really cool things in the community. Let's highlight you in a very small segment.
This sounds really familiar.
And, but yeah, and now it's been, it's just been a lot of fun. And,
yeah, it seems like you really enjoy doing it.
I do. And like I said, I'm like,
you know, so do you sell them the content or are you a freelancer? How does that work?
Yeah. So like I basically, they pay me per video.
Oh, okay.
And it's not much and it's just
But like, you love doing it.
I love doing it. I would do it. I shouldn't say that. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say it for free. But yeah, I mean, I love meeting people. I love connecting with our community. I'm in love with our community. I really am. I think with for me growing up, and being where I'm at today, Kenosha is a big part of that. Mm-hmm. And it's given me a lot of opportunity. Mm-hmm. And now it's time to like pay back. And if I can meet people and spotlight them and tell their good stories, like I think that's what we're missing a lot of. Like we hear all the negative stuff, especially in our community, what has happened over the past couple of years. This is something that kind of just pulled on my heartstrings. And it was like, you got to do this. You got to get, because I'll tell you, it's funny because when I do the small segments on Kenosha.com, a lot of times it's when I'm not recording that the really good stuff comes out. Yeah. And I'm sure you guys experience that as well. Like, and I'm like, oh man, I wish we were recording during that time. So
we'll always record, Mitch.
Yeah.
We'll always have that record button.
I got that. No, always record.
So do they own all your content or are you able to put it out anywhere you want?
Yeah. So I can do whatever really I want with the content. You know, I always start out with that stuff as, you know, Mitch Ferraro from Kenosha.com. Mm-hmm. So my goal is not to repurpose it. What my goal with a lot of the content is to continue to build the relationships with the people that I bring on to Kenosha.com.
Right, yeah.
You know, like that's that first seed I get to plant with a lot of people. Like some people I've never even met before I get on the Zoom call with them. Mm-hmm. And it just allows me to then, you know, say, hey, I'd love to grab coffee with you.
Or there you go.
Because a big goal for me now that I'm kind of at where I'm at in my life is I really want to impact our community as best and as positive as I can. And I don't know exactly what that is yet, but by getting the opportunity to meet people and talk with them and try to figure out like, where do I fit in best in our community? Mm-hmm. It's given me this opportunity of kind of like pulling my due diligence and seeing where I fit in best and how I can be most effective. Because what I don't want to do is just kind of jump into something and then be like, man, I'm just really not effective. I want to try to get this 30,000 foot view as best as I can and say, I could be really good right there, or I could be really good right there. And I'm kind of in that fate. Like it's been my goal since the beginning of this year through the end of the summer to kind of really try to figure that out.
So who were some of the guests on your show?
Well, we just had Brian Albrick, who is the president and CEO of Gateway Technical College. He was on there that should be going actually airing next week. That was a fun one. Willie Jude, who is vice chancellor of advancement at UW Parkside. We had the CEO of the Boys and Girls Club on. We had...
you had the Langstons on. That was a great one around Christmas time. Yep, that was a fun one.
They did their first annual Christmas tree auction.
Yes, and you were there as well. I saw some photos.
That
event.
Yes. That was a lot of fun.
They're great people, aren't they?
They are just, they're really, really good people. And tied into the community, like they want really good for the community as well.
I noticed you did a Corey Elijah interview, but then I can't find it anywhere.
Oh, you can't anymore?
I was looking for it.
Him and I did one, and that wasn't for Kenosha.com.
Oh, okay.
That was actually just one that him and I just went after kind of everything had gone through with Jacob Blake and all of that. I said, hey, I'll use my platform, use your platform. Why don't we just have a conversation about what's going on? And that was a cool one because we were kind of talking about real things that were going on.
Yeah, Corey's a good guest. We've had him on a couple times, actually.
Yeah.
We worked with him with our fundraiser as well.
Yeah, and he's got a good audience, and I think his audience really trusts him, which is important, right? You got to speak to your audience and what makes sense to them. And, I've had Alvin Owens from the Regiment Barber Collective. I've had Charmaine Harris, who has his own book out now. And he's got, you want to talk about a changing positive story in Kenosha.
That's
you guys
it
gotta
right
check
there.
Out Charmaine. I get to reach out to people and I get to see.
It's
if
fun.
They want to come
it's
out.
Fun, right? Did people contact you? You got to get me on the show.
Yeah, I will get that. And a lot of times too, like I don't get to make the final call. I kind of run it past.
Oh, okay.
Past Jeff and
so it's, you kind of book together.
Yeah, I just say, hey, what do you guys think about?
Hey, you
this?
Should ask them if you can have the K-Town Connect podcast.
I should.
They're gonna say no. They're gonna say no.
Well, I know a guy, so okay. maybe I can.
Perfect. So. Tell us about a show that went bad. Do you have everybody's got one of those, right?
You know,
like a lost episode. I can't put that out.
You know, I've never really had a bad episode. Where
that's how good he is.
Wow.
No, that's not what I'm trying to get at. But no, I've always, what I was kind of telling you guys about before is we don't do any editing of those shows.
Okay.
Yep. I try to keep it very light.
You keep it real.
I keep it real. I keep it very structured. So mm-hmm. It's always like, let's meet the person. I'll pick up on something and expand on it. We'll talk about what they've got going on and then we'll close out the show. Mm-hmm. And it's much different, you know, doing a 10-minute segment right. versus a very long segment yeah. where
you got to cram all that info in there.
Yes, and we can keep it pretty smooth and kind of going. And even if someone messes up, I always just tell them just laugh it off. You know, so I honestly feel like when someone kind of screws up, like there's some
They're
authenticity
human.
Yep. to that, and mm-hmm. I feel like people can connect with that. So not really any bad shows. I mean, there has been some shows where I feel like I'm trying to pull out information, which can be tough, but a lot of times it's more of the person just they're not like me wanting to be in front of a microphone.
They're very nervous.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
we exactly. get that quite a bit as well. Yeah. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Normally we have a bunch of booze we serve people, but I'm a little hungover today. So I was like, I don't want to bring any booze in.
And with me on today, you didn't need to get me all liquored up to do this because I'll just go right
perfect.
After it.
All right. So then we can find Keeping It Real. On Kenosha.com.
Correct.
Is it on a podcast provider or you just do video?
Just do video. Okay. It's on Kenosha.com. It's on their Facebook pages. I post it for my personal social media page as well.
And just search your name. Everything yep. pops up. I know everything about you now.
Yeah, my social media page is very public. Almost everything that I post is public. You can find me. Our Family Legacy Real Estate is more, that's all on Facebook as well. That's more geared towards the real estate stuff. And Welcome Home Real Estate Group, if you're ever looking to sell a home or anything like that, buy a home, you can reach out to me there. One of the things that I kind of always separate myself, I feel like, from other agents is that I'm just not I'm very data driven. I'm very like, I'll give you a couple of options. It's just not about buying or selling. If you're going to sell a home, there's more options than just putting it on the market right away. We can fix it up a little bit to get more money. We can sell it as is. I could make an offer on it for cash right now. Mm-hmm. So I can just provide a couple of different things.
You provide so many great services for this town. You really do.
And we'll have those links right down in our show notes.
Yes,
so make sure you
will.
Click on
yes,
those
we
and
will.
Check those out. So
awesome.
All right. Well, with that, let's take our second break and we'll be back with some Kenosha Connects.
Yee-hoo! Mosey on down to the Downtowner Saloon, 707 56th Street, for mouth-watering Southwestern foods.
Including their amazing brisket, flavorful original rubs, and the gall darn hot tootin'est, smokin'est meats in town.
Enjoy a meal or just stop in for one of their delicious specialty drinks at the Downtowner Saloon, 707 56th Street.
Yee-hoo! La Macchia Travels, 618 55th Street, has served Kenosha for over 90 years.
And with their rich history, you can expect the best in customer service and care to ensure that your next vacation will be one to remember for all the best reasons.
Stop in their office or visit their website, lamacchiatravel.com, to plan your next big getaway.
I'm out of here.
And we're back from that break.
And what a break that was. That bit is getting old.
Yeah.
But you do it really well.
Thank you. One of the rare things we do well here on the show. What time is it?
It's time for Kenosha Connects.
And Kenosha Connects is brought to you by Union Park Tavern.
That's right, Donnie. Every Friday, get on down to Union Park Tavern, 4520 8th Avenue, for their famous fish fry, voted best of Kenosha for the last decade.
Ooh.
Maybe longer. But that's not all. Union Park Tavern serves up great food every day, including their 9 a.m. weekend brunches. And get this, Donnie, if you enjoy live music, they have you covered there as well.
Sweet.
Live music every Friday and Saturday night. And, Mitch, be sure to check out that beer garden.
One
of the best in town.
Yeah, it is.
That's Union Park Tavern, 4520 8th Avenue.
All right, you ready for some Kenosha Connects, Mitch?
Let's do it.
All right, what was the last great meal you had in Kenosha?
What was the last great meal? So I don't know if we'll talk about pizza, but
we will.
Sal's Pizza.
Oh, yeah.
And I had one of their, I'm not going to be able to think of the name, but it's got ground, it's like the roast beef, hot jardinera, and pepperoni. Ooh. It's called something, and I can't think, and it was amazing.
Ooh. Sal's Pizza is so good.
Yeah.
Did Dr. Destruction deliver your pizza?
Actually, unfortunately, they don't deliver to my side.
Oh, so you got to go down and
take it. Go get
it. That's how good it is.
That's
I'm going to get house and get it.
I will go get it. No problem.
You know what? I always do pick up anyway because I'm both cheap and a good tipper. So I'll go pick it up to save a few bucks.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I always want to give them 10 bucks. All right, Mitch, where in Kenosha would you recommend someone go for a first date?
Ooh, that's a good one. You know, our lakefront is absolutely beautiful. I do think it's underutilized as it is right now, but I think you can do anything down, especially like the pier area. They have some really cool stuff in the summertime around that area. Like they kind of do have like a peanut butter and jelly type of thing. Peanut butter and jam, I think it's called.
Yeah,
sorry, yep. And I would do anything downtown. Go to the Apis. Go to Slip 56, go to Sazzy B's or Why Not. I recently did have a really good New York strip at Why Not, which was really surprising. It was like really, really good. I was very, very happy with it. But something downtown. Downtown is starting to vibe a lot more, and I really, really like it a lot.
There's some great places down there.
Yeah.
It really is, especially Union Park Tavern. All right, what's your favorite Kenosha event? Now, the summer's coming. There's going to be a lot of events.
You know what? I was really happy and it was a lot of fun. The Juneteenth event downtown.
Yep.
They did the first one last year right next to Regimen Barber Collective.
Oh, yeah.
That was a lot of fun. A lot of good vendors down. The food was you want to talk about some soul food. It was very, very good. Mm. A lot of good ribs. And a lot of vendors were out there selling their stuff, and they had dancing. Joe Langston was out there with his boxing ring.
Oh, yeah.
That was cool. And then this year, they're doing a lot of cool stuff. Like, they're having a 3-on-3 basketball tournament right across the street at the Boys and Girls Club during it.
Okay.
So they've got some really cool stuff that's coming up this year, which will be fun to do. And Alvin Owens is he's an awesome guy. And but, yeah, I'll say Juneteenth for sure.
Okay. I remember I drove by that, so I was like, what's going on there? I didn't know what was happening. I was like, my finger was off the pulse that week. Or
well, you want to know it too? I think a lot of people are not sure because, you know, it is, it's celebrating, you know, the freedom from slavery. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people may be thinking, like, is this something that I should go to?
Yeah.
And it is. It's a full event for everyone in the community.
Great.
Go enjoy it. It's a lot of fun, and you're really helping support a really good event.
All right. What's the best place to see a band in Kenosha?
I mean, the Brat Stop would have to be one of the best places that I mean, if they have it all set up there, I mean, it is, you can rock out there. Mm-hmm, I mean, they've got a lot of space. They got the nice stage. Mm-hmm. So, or, I mean, I don't know, the Band Shell could be a good spot, but I don't know how often they have like some really good bands there. It's more of like a
Brat Stop is where you go to rock.
Yeah. You want to rock out.
Big stage there.
Yeah.
All right. Favorite museum in Kenosha?
I would have to say the Civil War Museum. I think I've been there quite a few times. We do a lot of, my kids like to read, so we do a lot of stopping and reading through everything.
Nice.
And that's really cool because it's history here, which is exciting to kind of see. And you say, oh my God, you never even kind of knew that or what that was about. So yeah, I would have to definitely say that one.
Hmm. Nice. Where can I get the best burrito in Kenosha?
Oh, guys, that is
a tough one.
Oh, my. Okay, so La Fagata is like one of my favorite spots, and that's because they have one of my favorite dishes called Pollo Gordo. It's not a burrito. And they ask what type of what are the, oh my God.
Tortillas?
Yes. Okay. You don't get tortillas with them.
Okay.
Just eat the pollo gordo by itself. Oh. Okay. Like the tortillas will take the taste away. but best burrito, oh man. What is the one right here on the north side as well, right by Dairy Queen? Los Toquitos.
Oh, great, yeah. Great place. Yes. Great place. Yes. All right. When was the last time you rode the streetcar?
This winter.
Oh.
Yes, I did during Christmas. So took both my kids. We went, so played hockey my whole life. We went at the little skate rink.
Oh, yeah.
We did
yeah.
the skate rink, and then we'd hop on the little trolley and go around a few times.
Were your kids skate with you at least?
Oh, yeah. That. Okay. Oh, yeah, okay. Absolutely. And it was
so you're fun. Not going to play hockey, you're not going to play hockey, skate.
But you are going to skate with me during the winter. But they really enjoyed it a lot. All I think right, that cool. was the extent that they'll get to. But it, funny enough, that guy can really kick it into gear on the back end of the streetcar.
Oh.
You can go pretty fast. I was like, oh, okay, are we dying right now or are we?
Buckle up.
All right, Mitch, which now closed Kenosha business do you wish you could bring back?
Now closed. You know, I really enjoyed Grab's Burger. It was on the north side. Yeah. It's now Cape Town Cafe, I believe.
Yep.
I always like they had really interesting types of burgers, which I'm a big fan of, like blue cheese on a burger stuff like that. And they had stuff like that. So I'd have to say Grab's.
Okay. They had that weird Bloody Mary there because they didn't have liquor. They just had beer. So it was a Bloody Mary with just beer. And you know what? It wasn't that bad.
Okay. All right.
Just saying.
Nice.
Captain Mike's has good burgers, too.
Yes. Yeah, I was just there too, and I had a really good burger.
The Garage.
Swayze. The Garage, yes.
You can get those burgers stuffed with blue cheese.
Yes. Making me hungry.
Yeah.
All right. What is your favorite interview you've done on your show? You got to have one where you're like, yeah, that's gold.
You know, Willie Jude that I just did was a good one. Willie brought a lot of good energy. I'm a big fan of Parkside.
Well,
I'm a big fan of Parkside. I think what they have been trying to do a lot of, they're trying to really update the facilities, trying to promote more. Like, and I think having a university, a UW university in our backyard is super important, especially for kids that do want to go on to higher education. So I'm going to go with Willie Jude on that one.
I like that.
When was the last time you swam in Lake Michigan? Ooh. Or at least put your feet in there?
Man. I would say we did go down there. My kids went in. Like they went.
Yeah.
What's Eichelman Park is right there, and it's got the nice beach.
Place with the cannon.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. Yep. So we were down there last summer, and the kids went in. I think I got ankle deep in.
Okay.
There you go. There you go.
That was about it.
All right. Who do you think the next mayor of Kenosha should be?
Ooh.
I mean, nobody's running yet. Anybody?
Yeah, no one's running yet. Oh, that's a really good question.
Dr. Destruction?
should run again. Just redo everything? No, okay. So to me, whoever is going to become mayor, I think has to be very, very good at bringing people together. I think there's a lot of, like, you know, Republican, Democrat, even though it's supposed to be a nonpartisan council, just like our county board as well. It's supposed to be nonpartisan, but it's you're seeing Republican, Democratic views left and right.
Mm-hmm.
We have got to get someone that can really show leadership of bringing people together. And that is also a very effective communicator. I do believe that there's two ways of communicating. There's communicating and then there's effective communicating. So, I do think that whoever does come in, their number one goal needs to be, we are going to come together and here's the biggest thing too. How about we do things outside of the council meetings?
Mm.
We do things outside of the committee meetings, like go to dinner together, go out barbecue together. I feel like there's so much friction. Like they're not talking about, hey, how's your kids doing? Hey, how was, you know, I heard you went out of town last week. Like, I feel like, but that takes real leadership.
But the counselors, like, clicks of, like, or the group of, like, three or four that do that, but they don't include anyone else. They have their own little group.
Exactly. And I think, but a good leader can break through that.
Bring everyone together, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. A good leader can say, you know what? That's cool, you guys got your thing, but come on over here. Mm-hmm. Let's all get together. And I think that I'm a big believer that anything can be solved over food and drink. And I think we need more of that. And I just think the next mayor needs to be a focus.
I think you should throw your head in the race. I like what you're saying here. I like that.
Maybe. Yeah,
perfect. Just kidding. You heard it here first.
All right, Mitch. At which Kenosha bar do you think you spent the most money at?
Ooh. Let's see here.
Have you old haunts in your younger days?
You know what? Coins, Spankies.
Okay.
What else? Those are kind of like the ones that even Summer's House on the north side. I mean, I'm a north side guy, so Clubhouse, spend some good money in those areas. And again, too, I really like going downtown now.
Clubhouse has some great food,
yes,
too.
Yes, they're tied with Infocino's, yep, right there with their pizza and all that. Yeah, I agree. But yeah, I've got a few, I think.
Okay, that's fine. I love it. All right, last one. This one's pretty obvious.
Yeah, I think we know where this is going.
Big Star or The Spot?
Come on, man. Big Star.
All day. There you go.
And I will not slight Spot. Spot, I still will eat Spot. Spot's but great. You're giving me a choice. I'm going to Big Star.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. All right, that was the Kenosha Connects with Mitch Farrow, and that was brought to you by Union Park Tavern. Thank you, Union Park Tavern.
And what time is it now, Donnie?
Ding, ding, ding. It's trivia time, and trivia is brought to you by Carbox. Honk, honk. Looking for a new car? Stop on by Carbox, 1750 22nd Avenue. Scott and his team will put you in the car of your dreams. They can offer you great vehicles for all family types.
Really?
Minivans for you, because I know you got another kid on the way.
I do.
They have the deals you want and need. So get down, visit Carbox, 1750 22nd Avenue.
I got to say, so Carbox got some really good social media ads.
Yeah, they do. I know, we had them on the show. And
they
Scott,
were a hoot. They were.
Yeah. Oh, they're the best.
I probably have seen and watched the full video of all of their stuff.
Yeah. And they're everywhere, too.
More than a handful of times. Like,
that's why we had to get them on the show. We're like, these people are interesting.
They are funny. Yeah. Very funny.
Yeah, they're a good sponsor of the show.
Yeah.
They're great.
They're great. They give us like merch and stuff we give out.
Yeah.
And
nice.
I love
Carbox
Scott.
Hats and stuff like that.
Nice.
So it's trivia time, which is Donnie against our guest.
Ooh.
And a best of three questions, three for each of you. So today, Mitch, I heard you're a hockey fan.
Yes.
So we are doing hockey trivia, NHL trivia to be exact.
Okay.
So sometimes I go too hard with the guests.
I know.
So this time I think I'm going too easy on it.
All right.
I think you're gonna whoop.
Well, I know nothing about hockey, so.
So I'm gonna start with Donnie so you kind of see what's going on here. This is multiple choice. Maybe I shouldn't give you multiple choice. I don't know. All right, Donnie, first question for you. Which NHL team is the Yankees of the NHL winning 24 Stanley Cups? Is it the Toronto Maple Leafs, Detroit Red Wings, Montreal Canadiens, or the Boston Bruins?
The Red Wings?
Incorrect.
Damn it.
It is the Montreal Canadiens.
Dang it.
You should have won with the Canadian team at least. Come on.
Well, the Red Wings were pretty solid, right?
In the 90s, they won two. But,
oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Red Wings suck, dude.
Yeah, we're not big Red Wing fans.
Oh, man. This is way too easy.
Come on.
Which team is not one of the famed NHL Original Six? Blackhawks, Bruins, Oilers, or Red Wings?
Oilers.
Yes, you got it.
Yeah.
Dang.
One for one.
Went way too easy. Donnie?
I know you can be the easy one. They're all easy.
This is an easy one for you, Donnie.
Okay.
What is the semicircular area in front of the goal called? Is it the crease, the zone, the pit, or the point?
The point.
No. it is the crease.
Dang it.
You did that on purpose.
I know nothing about hockey. Wayne Gretzky, I think that's all I know. Eric Lindros?
Yeah.
Does he still play?
No. Too many concussions.
Yeah. All right, Mitch, second question for you. Which NHL team reached the Stanley Cup Finals in their first year of existence? Do you know this one?
Yeah.
Can you say it?
Las Vegas Knights.
Oh.
Golden Knights.
Why are they called the Golden Knights? Wasn't Vegas Knights? Wouldn't that sound so much better?
Golden Knights. Yeah, they almost did it.
They went to the finals in their first year.
when was this? A couple years ago?
Yeah, just recently.
Yeah. Oh.
First expansion team you do.
All right. Donnie, see if you can get one here.
Okay, all right.
The Vezina Trophy is awarded each year to A, the team with the most points, B, the best forward, C, the best defenseman, or D, the best goalie.
The best goalie?
You got one.
Hey. Thank you for nice the multiple
job.
Choice.
Nice job.
And Mitch, you won, but I'm going to give you the last question here for all fun. Right. Which team did Wayne Gretzky not play for during his 20-year career? Edmonton, Montreal, Los Angeles, or the New York Rangers?
Montreal.
You got it. I went way too easy on you.
Congratulations.
Mitch, you are the winner. And you win a t-shirt from The Letter Machine.
A all nice right. K-Town Connects t-shirt. Here you go.
Nice.
The Letter Machine is located at 725 50th Street, and they can customize almost anything. Gifts, masks, uniforms, school apparel, office attire, accessories, you name it.
Wow, The Letter Machine does it all.
Check out their online novelty shop at lettermachine.com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what a fun show that was.
That was a great show. Thank you so much for being on, Mitch. We appreciate you coming.
All right. That's Mitch Ferraro, Keeping It Real. You can find his podcast on Kenosha.com. Buy a house from him.
All
sell
right.
him a house.
Yes.
Find that all at WelcomeHomeKenosha.com and just look him up on Facebook. All the information's there. Any other plugs?
No, that is it. I just really appreciate you guys letting me come on today. I really enjoyed it. And you guys do an awesome job. Thank you.
Thank you. So do you. All right, what a great show that was. Let's wrap up and thank our sponsors.
All right, we got to thank the Downtowner Saloon,
Union Park Tavern,
Carbox,
Frank's Diner,
Minnie Samuel of Next Home Refined.
You know her? Mm. Oh, well, you do now. Acupuncture and Wellness of Wisconsin,
the Specialty Nacho Queen,
Lucci's Grandview,
La Macchia Travel,
Faded Barbershop for Men,
Wink Beauty Boutique,
of course, The Lettering Machine,
Gerber's Gift Shop. Is it Gerber's or Gerb's?
I think it's Gerb's. Well, he shouldn't have canceled. I've been on the show earlier today. So.
And finally, our home base, Luigi's Pizza Kitchen.
Another show in the tank, so to speak.
Yeah, good.
After all these shows, I'm still trying to remember, what are we doing here?
It's bad too. We're connecting Kenosha.
Bingo.